Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants include CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446, or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens, and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
Lease up to luxury retirement living at the Stephen and Petra Levin Tower at Morse Life. The tower is all about indulgence and luxury, redefining retirement living with amenities that are second to none. Fine dining, a pampering spa, golf memberships, tennis, concierge services, and walking paths for your pet are among the pleasures of living at the tower. For a lifestyle that's first in its class, call 800-49-TOWER. Or visit MorseLifeTower.com and secure your choice of floor plans today.
Are you retired or nearing retirement? By now you probably realize that nest egg you had set up is not nearly enough to carry you through retirement. Here's some good news. They specialize in retirement planning, estate planning, income taxation, and investment strategies for people who are retired or approaching retirement looking for ways to maximize their income. It's not too late to get on the right track to financial freedom. Mark Linsky has been a financial advisor since 1986 and carries a certified financial planner's designation and all the tips, tools, and secrets you need to find financial stability. They also focus on 401k plans and passive real estate solutions. So whether you're retired, nearing retirement, or just want to stay ahead of the game, contact Mark Linsky to set up your consultation. 561-328-7391. That's 561-328-7391. US 1 and Donald Ross, right in Juneau Beach.
Investment Group is an independent firm with securities offered through Summit Brokerage Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Summit Financial Group, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
They say that caring for the elderly is a profession of the heart. As the director of home health care at Morse Life, I know that to be true. When I see an older person feeling safe and secure at home, I know I've done my job. To make a difference, to show compassion, dignity, and respect, it's not just our job, it's our mission.
Morse Life Home Healthcare.
Morse Life Health System, honoring senior living.
Call 561-471-5111 or visit morselife.org.
Welcome to The Rabbi and the CEO, separating fact from fiction and bubble mices from the bottom line. With your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler of Habata Palm Beach Gardens and CEO Mitch Zachary of Zachary Financial Consultants. Join the conversation through email, rabbi@jewishgardens.com. Watch the show on Facebook Live, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now here are your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Facts on the fiction, the Bubba Mice is from the bottom line. Good morning and welcome to the Schmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary, sophisticated, and modern Jews just like you. Learn about us online at www.jewishgardens.com. That's www.jewishgardens.com. Good morning, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm a little disappointed in you, Rabbi.
You are disappointed. I'm so sorry. What happened, Mitch? What did I do?
I don't know if I can hang with you anymore. I'm sorry. I just found out you came from an S-hole country. I don't know what to say.
You just find out? You didn't know this before?
I didn't know that's what it was.
But you knew that I came from South Africa, right?
Yes, right. I don't know if I can respect you anymore.
Am I allowed to be here? Am I allowed to be here now?
How does it feel to be insulted like that?
Am I reformed? Have I been rehabilitated?
You know, all of us came from places like that originally. But how does it feel? How does it feel? You're first generation. How does it feel?
being a first generation from African?
From being
or first generation American.
Being told by the President of the United States that you came from an asshole country.
Means absolutely nothing to me, quite frankly.
Okay, good.
I mean, seriously, I get called names all the time, you know, by all sorts of people. I just don't take it personally, you know what I mean? So you got to develop a thick skin for this job. And I think that it really made absolutely no difference to my life. Good. But I did think it was pretty impressive. Oh, not impressive, pretty incredible. How one word was able to tick off an entire continent. That's quite an achievement.
You're right. If you used a different adjective.
An entire continent.
Yeah, if you used a different adjective, it might not have been so powerful.
Is that an adjective? Is that what it is? I mean, I don't even know what that word is. I never heard of the word before. I didn't even know what it is. It's not in my dictionary. But you know, I think that it speaks of the importance of words of speech. I think it's very important to realize that speech is incredibly important and ties directly into our upcoming adult education course, which is called The Art and Soul of Communication, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Human Connection. You see, we live in a time where digital media has effectively expelled any human interaction.
That's very true.
And it is so sad how you can have someone like, you know, someone as powerful as the President of the United States of America who can literally send off a text at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's no advisors around and in his, you know, his Twitter feed. Okay, or something.
Although that's not the.
That's not what happened in this case. In this case,
in a room full of politicians.
It's disputed. Did he really say it? Did he not say it? The Republicans deny it. The Democrats emphatically. Whatever. You know, that's not my business. But I think that we live in an age where we simply have forgotten how to communicate. I want you to think about this image a second. So 4,000 years ago, people used to communicate through hieroglyphics, right?
Yeah.
Right? After all of the advancement and development technology of 4,000 years, how do we communicate today?
Through Twitter.
Through hieroglyphics. Through emoticons. Mm. Right? Through
That's
little,
true. You're right.
Through yeah. little stick figures.
That's interesting, yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
You know,
we've gone 4,000 years in full circle.
I don't even know how to use them that well, but it drives me crazy. I get text sometimes from people, nothing but emojis.
Half the time, I don't even know what they're talking about.
I have to translate it. You're right. To me, it's like hieroglyphics.
When you see, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. It's hieroglyphics. When you see someone with tears in his eyes, does that mean I'm laughing out of tears of joy? Does that mean I'm crying because you broke my heart? I don't know what's going on.
Or LMAO.
Well, LMAO, yeah, that means laughing.
Right.
But LOL, does LOL mean like...
Laughing out loud.
I'm happy?
Yes.
Or you're an idiot? Or... I don't even know what it means.
Or all the above. You figure it out.
Or all the above. Right. Or does it mean I'm just too lazy to write a normal response, so I'm going to write 3 letters and you knock yourself out and work it out? That's what I think it is. So, Mitch, my point is that we live in an age of severely limited communication. With all of the abilities to communicate, whether it's through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, emails. You know, there's a lady in our community who refuses to use text messages. Even voicemails, she doesn't use. She doesn't use her cell phone. The only way to actually reach her is on her home phone. So if you want to reach her, you have to call her on her home phone. No email, no text message, not even on her. She has a cell phone. I don't know why, but you know, she doesn't check the voicemails. So I find that a very, very challenging because I actually have to sort of call her a few times until I catch her on the actual phone at the home line. Very challenging. So we have these abilities to communicate with people on so many different levels, which have actually taken us backward. Where we don't know how to communicate to the point that we're dealing with a situation here where the President of the United States is sending out these text messages and totally taken out of context in which they were intended, or maybe not. Nobody really knows the context in which they were intended. Who knows what was going on back there, you know, and 3 o'clock in the morning, what he was thinking, what he was informed, what he was watching on television. Who knows what he was responding to? All we see is 3 or 4 words in a phrase taken out of context or not, and it's very challenging. So what this course is that we're teaching at the end of this month of January, starting Tuesday afternoons at the JCC, is it's called The Art and Soul of Communication, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Human Connection. It's using ancient Talmudic wisdom to inspire us how to communicate in an age of social media, in an age of communicating through machines where we're not actually talking face to face, eye to eye. I miss eye contact. to me, it's one of the tragedies of 2018. This is you know, like, you know, when we say goodbye.
Well, it's the tragedy of a generation.
Yeah, the tragedy of a generation. I feel that, you know, like the, I hate to say it, but this morning as I was saying goodbye to my kids, just walking out to go to go to Davin Litvillen, I hate to say it, but, you know, they were sitting on the couch, they were watching something on the video machine, and I tried to give them each a kiss, you know, all seven, tried to give them each a kiss. And as I went through the couch, I think one of them made eye contact with me, because God forbid to break the, you know, the mesmerized hypnosis of the video screen. And we live in an age of so much exciting, exciting media, that it's very difficult to have human connection.
Stimulating.
Human connection. It's like a premium.
Stimulating media.
Did you know there was a restaurant in Tel Aviv? Steve, our producer in the studio, you were just talking about the Starbucks before the show, that there's no Starbucks in Tel Aviv.
Right.
Did you find that frustrating?
Yes, I found that very. But we went to Aroma.
And so you went to Aroma. Is Aroma better or worse than...
Aroma, I thought, was just as good, but a lot more fun, because there's more variety there. And the story, you know the story behind Aroma, just to digress a little bit? Did you know?
No, what is the story about? There's a story about Aroma? No, because I just wanted to tell you that, just to tie in over here, there was a coffee shop in Tel Aviv. Israelis love to drink coffee. They love coffee shops. So maybe it's a Mediterranean thing. So there was a coffee shop that said over there that 10% discount to anybody who doesn't use their phone, but actually talks to the person across the table.
From them. Tel Aviv?
There was a sign. There was actually a sign I saw once, yeah. It said 10% discount for anybody who doesn't use their phone while they're drinking coffee with the person across them.
And what was amazing about it is we sat next to a soldier. He had his machine gun out. They didn't give him a 10% discount.
There was a soldier, really. But if you don't have the numbers, so what's the story with Aroma? Aroma in Israel?
They actually have a program where they take young people that may have sort of strayed off the path and get them back on the path and employ them. And they actually
That's
give them work.
That's the concept behind Aroma?
Yes, actually
it
is.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a very interesting program. And obviously with no Starbucks there, they sort of control the market in Israel. But it's a wonderful story.
So the purpose is to take people that are getting
Sort of repurposing their lives.
People that lives are dysfunctional?
Right. Right.
Whatever. That's the purpose of Aroma coffee?
Yeah, that's how it actually got started, yeah. And they employ a lot of young people and a lot of people that have
people
actually...
People that are lost, listless.
Right. And actually got off the path, and it's sort of a rehabilitation
so
program.
So you got to be dysfunctional in order to get a job in Aroma.
Not dysfunctional, but let's just say kind of lost your way.
What a great idea.
Right.
That is so interesting. I had no idea. Maybe we should go there more often. Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. You're listening to The Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler, Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for sophisticated Jews. Thinking, independent thinking, open-minded Jews, just like you. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com. That's www.jewishgardens.com. And we have a very, very exciting guest coming to town next month in February 18th. We're bringing a celebrity Jewish comedian. His name is Ilan Gold, coming to our annual gala celebrating the community that we've built together here in Palm Beach Gardens. Ilan Gold is a celebrity comedian. This guy is hysterical. You got to check him out on YouTube. He's got this skit on... Why Jews Don't Have Xmas Trees. Have you ever seen that skit?
No.
It's been a viral video. It's got millions of hits on social media. And it is so funny. This guy is hysterical. He comes from an Orthodox background. And I think he has a brother who is maybe... has an alternate lifestyle, so he's very much exposed to various streams of Judaism and minorities, you know. So he's hysterical, he's really funny, and he's coming to Chabad Palm Beach Gardens for our annual gala on February 18th. Please do come and join us at jewishgardens.com to learn more about this really, really fun event coming up on February 18th.
Sounds good.
We also have this morning in the studio, coming up this morning in the studio, we have two very exciting guests. One is Sue Fishkoff. Mitch, I remember that giving you this book years ago when I first met you. I gave you a book called The Rebbe's Army, written by Sue Fishkoff. She is going to be our guest this morning, live from California, where it's very early in the morning. And hopefully she'll be on the show soon, where she'll be talking about her incredible journey as a non-observant, a person who Steve, I think she... freely speaks about the fact that she's not an observant Jew necessarily.
Right. When we were on the phone and we were discussing her appearance this morning on the show, I was surprised to learn that she really wasn't all that observant and really wasn't all that familiar with the inner workings of Chabad, the philosophy, until she really got into this book. And I was fascinated by why she took a year off and sort of traveled around Chabad's and learned a little
bit
about...
She literally moved into Chabad houses.
Right.
She lived, like, she slept in their kids' bedrooms. I mean, she literally got the real deal experience for a whole year.
I just want to say that after reading her book and hearing about some of the incredible stories, I mean, Chabad's in Alaska, all parts of parts of the world that aren't even developed. And then I think of you, Rabbi. Sacrificing everything
so hard
to come to Palm Beach Gardens.
You know, it's funny.
But the stories, I just want to say, the story she does tell, I'm teasing you. The story.
No, it's funny. It's actually funny because it's connected to this week's Torah portion.
Okay.
In the Torah portion this week that you missed yesterday, I'm going to rub it in a little, right? But of course, no fault. You get full credit, Mitch. So in the Torah portion yesterday, we read about the first seven of the 10 plagues in Egypt. So the second plague, well, the first one was blood. The second one was frogs in Egypt. A very interesting story happens with the frogs. You know, first of all, Egypt is basically swarmed with frogs that just go everywhere in their homes, in their shoes, in their socks, down their throats, in their ovens. They go in their beds. They go in their swimming pools. Can you imagine just having frogs everywhere? It is awfully disgusting. I can't imagine how yuck that must be, right? So I remember hearing once from a guest rabbi in our yeshiva, and he wanted us to realize, he says, you know, when you think about the frogs, they were all like kamikaze mission. You know kamikaze?
Yeah.
These frogs are like going to be killed. They were going to be whacked with a baseball bat, you know, whichever one was going to happen to be in the way of the baseball bat. So they were all on the suicide mission to do the work of God, so to speak, right? Oh, that sounds awful. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to say that.
Well, it's about frogs, not
a suicide mission for God just sounds awful. I take that back. They were on this, like, you know, self-sacrifice, so to speak. So he pointed out to us, he said, that, you know, there were different kinds of frogs. There were frogs that jumped into Pharaoh's bed. You know, if you're going to die, it's a nice way to die. You know, in Pharaoh's bed, compared to the frogs that jumped straight into Pharaoh's ovens. Can you imagine the frogs that went straight into the ovens? Between the frogs, the ones that went straight to the ovens or straight into, you know, straight into the jaws of the alligator or something, you know, those were the ones that were the real self-sacrifice ones. But the ones that went to Pharaoh's bed, it's a different kind of self-sacrifice. He was talking about us yeshiva students. He says, look, some of you are thinking about becoming Chabad rabbis, about becoming shluchim, Chabad ambassadors. Just bear in mind that amongst the frogs that go out there, there are those that go to Anchorage, Alaska, where buying a gallon of kosher milk is like a major achievement.
Right, right. That's some of the stories she tells are amazing.
And then there are the guys that go to Brooklyn. You know, you go to Brooklyn, it's like whatever, you know. So we, for example, have to send our kids 45 minutes each way to school. And I want you to know, not to minimize, Mitch, that is a major sacrifice, you should know. For our kids to
for
be home
children,
at 7:15 in the morning, to come home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's not easy for them. You know, my youngest who's going on that little transport is... on that little bus is 6 years old, you know? That's a long day for a six-year-old girl. Yeah. And we feel awful about it, and we kind of feel that the kids have to do that shuttle because their parents live in, you know, in what right now is the spiritual boondock, so to speak, off the Chabad grid. So if we lived in a more religious community, it might be easier. But then again, you know, I remember being as a young rabbinical student in Kobe, Japan, and I remember thinking to myself as I was traveling from Kobe to Osaka, doing this Passover Seder, you know, we're taking care of all the Jews over there. I remember saying to myself that if I could read the road signs wherever I land up one day, then I'm already ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, you know, that we are here, and certainly not to minimize my friends in Vietnam and my buddies in Laos and Phuket, Thailand, and other places like Perth, Australia. Can you imagine the Chabad rabbi in Perth, Australia? The nearest, like, religious Jew is like two time zones away. You know what I mean?
Think about the Chabad in what, San Juan or Ponce in Puerto Rico. What are they going through right now? Right?
Oh yeah, they were like completely evacuated during Hurricane Irma. The rabbi himself stayed on the island. I didn't really. You know, I couldn't understand why he stayed on the island. He wanted to service the Jews over there. But, man, he sent his wife and kids on a boat, like on the last helicopter out. Because he could, thank God. But they're probably still down.
Right, right.
You know, Rabbi, even though your plight is different than the ones that went to these ungodly places, the reasons are exactly the same.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, I might tease you about, you know, having to struggle for Palm Beach Gardens in the winter. But in reality...
In the winter.
You did struggle, but you did struggle. And you came here, and just like all the other ones, you and your wife were young, ambitious, maybe a little naive.
Naive is good.
And you were able to struggle through it because of that. And I think that's very similar from reading her book.
I remember, Mitch, when I gave
very
this
similar.
Book. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Shmooze. We're separating the facts from the fiction. The Bubba Mises from the bottom line. It's the rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary, CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary, fiercely independent-minded thinking Jews just like yourself. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com. Our producer, Steve Lapa, with us in the studio and certainly taking us our show to the next level. Thank you, Steve, for all that you do for Shmooze Radio. I just want to
say, and it's thanks to Steve, mostly, that I hope our listeners appreciate how much earlier we're starting than we did before.
No, it's great, and the content of our guest this morning in the studio is incredible. I just want to tell you, Mitch, our guest this morning in the calling in to the studio is the author of The Rebbe's Army, a New York Times bestseller. Her name is Sue Fishkoff from San Francisco, California, and she wrote this book, The Rebbe's Army. I remember I was actually in Japan when the book came out about, whatever, maybe 15, 16 years ago. And I remember when I gave you the book, Mitch, when I met you, I remember
it was the first book you gave me.
You had no idea who we were.
Right.
It was amazing. You had no idea who we were. And you didn't know my world. I didn't really know your world, because you were like this, you know, CEO here in North Palm Beach, and we really needed to get to know each other. We were like completely in two different planets. And I remember giving you this book. I was like, "Here, take this book. I think you might enjoy it." You read it, and I remember you saying to me, "Rabbi, now I get it." I remember you saying to me, "I totally get it," because there are chapters in that book which are just so funny. You can get this book on Amazon. It's called The Rebbe's Army by Sue Fishkoff. We actually are bringing Sue Fishkoff to Chabad Palm Beach Gardens for Tu B'Shvat, which is on January 31st. That's a Wednesday night. January 31st, I think it is. Is that right? Here for a wine and cheese and book signing event with Sue Fishkoff. She'll be talking about her book. She'll be actually in Palm Beach Gardens, where you can come and enjoy the book. And that event will be promoted next week at jewishgardens.com as well. So she's coming with us, going to be joining us this morning a little late in the show, in the studio. Also coming up is another fascinating guest, which may or may not happen right now because of a very, very late flight in last night from I don't know where. Lori Lance is supposed to be joining us this morning in the studio. She is the only Rebbetzin to be deployed in Iraq. How many Rebbetzins, can you imagine, are fighting?
Listen,
you know, fighting Al-Qaeda.
Let me tell you something. Your wife could do anything.
You think
if your wife was deployed there, she'd shape them up. There's no doubt in my mind. We would have defeated ISIS much longer ago.
Well, she weren't fighting ISIS. She was deployed against, you know, Iraq. Mm-hmm. You know, the Iraqis. Saddam Hussein. She actually lit the menorah, the public menorah. For me, it was a great achievement this year, Chanel. We arranged the public menorah lighting in the City Hall of Palm Beach Gardens. I'm going to assume that lighting the giant menorah in Saddam Hussein's palace was more of an achievement.
Wow.
And that's what she did. And there she met her husband.
Wow.
A rabbi. Also fighting, deployed in Iraq.
How do you like that? Wow.
That's an amazing story, right?
I guess that was something to share.
Yeah, I've heard of people meeting in interesting places, but, you know, meeting in a bar and whatever, but meeting in a giant menorah lighting in Saddam Hussein's palace, not the kind of ordinary place to meet. She's actually our guest speaker at this morning's Women's Champagne Brunch. Again, at the Chabad Palm Beach Gardens, where Mitch's wife is being honored as for her tremendous commitment to the community, together with another tremendous volunteer, Shelley Palacio.
Yeah, I'm very proud of her.
Yes, so are we. And this woman is, Lori Lenz, is going to be the guest speaker at the Women's Champagne Brunch. Ladies, I'm so sorry, but it is sold out. And I don't think that there's any more seats available. But that's happening this morning. I myself couldn't get a seat. Mitch, I know your wife is being honored. You couldn't get a seat. But hey, we're not invited.
We weren't invited.
We weren't invited?
Right, we weren't invited, so it doesn't matter. It's a women's brunch.
Does that offend you?
Not at all. That's the last place I want to be. Other than to hear my wife being on, then that's the last place I want to be.
So that's happening later this morning at 11 o'clock at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. But this lady, Lori Lanz, is supposed to be a guest this morning. However, because of a very late flight, she may or may not be calling into the show this morning. We will be right back with our guest in just a few minutes, Sue Fishka from San Francisco, California, talking about her incredible research and New York Times bestseller, The Rebbe's Army, just in a few moments. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants include CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446 or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
They say that caring for the elderly is a profession of the heart. As the director of home health care at Morse Life, I know that to be true. When I see an older person feeling safe and secure at home, I know I've done my job. To make a difference, to show compassion, dignity, and respect, it's not just our job, it's our mission.
Morse Life Home Healthcare.
Morse Life Health System, honoring senior living.
Call 561-471-5111 or visit morselife.org.
Welcome back to The Rabbi and the CEO. Watch the show live on Facebook, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Meisters from the bottom line. Good morning and welcome to The Schmooze with The Rabbi and the CEO. It is Mitch Zachary, CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for cosmopolitan Jews, just like you, our producer in the studio, Steve Lapa.
Steve, I got to ask you something. You've had many, many years in radio business. Have you ever seen anything like... I hear you laughing as we're like...
This is very entertaining, Mitch.
We have a good time, Steve. I don't know how our listeners are.
You know, Steve Lapa, our producer,
I have to tell you, I don't mean to interrupt you, Rabbi, I'm sorry. The yeshiva that I went to is Yeshiva Rambam, right, in Brooklyn. And there's a great, great teaching that the Rambam had, which was, if you say something and you make a commitment, you have to live up to it, right?
Good.
That was his teaching, right? So when I said... You know, all right, I'll get involved. I don't mind sharing this with you because I know my wife is not listening. Right? She's actually preparing for the brunch.
Oh, good.
Right? So my wife said to me, you know, Steve, you said you got to get started on this. You promised the rabbi. I said, you know, I'm so busy, blah, blah, blah. I got all this stuff.
You mean about the radio?
Right. And I don't mind telling you. I mean, I work on network shows. Anyway, so I was dragging my feet a little bit, right? So I guess you saw her at one of the mahjong, I don't know, whatever it was. And she came up to me and she said, look. I went, oh, no.
Oh, but you got the eyes.
So we have to thank Janet for speaking.
That's,
for
yes.
That's it, right?
That's after 34 years of marriage.
When he first listened to us, he went, oh, yay. I can't do anything with this. But we're trying,
yeah,
Steve.
We're building.
Yeah, Steve's right? building us up. This is good. We're 9 years in the radio, actually. Maybe it's our 10th anniversary, actually. Ninth anniversary.
Mazel tov.
It's like, give me our 9th anniversary.
You did it solo for a while.
Yeah, I went solo for a while. I had to blaze the trail here. But Mitch, I want to just go circle back here a second. I got to circle back to, you know, we're getting on Facebook Live here. We got some listeners from South Africa over here. I wonder what you guys think about Mitch's question. Were you offended by the president's comment, Gavin, over there from Facebook Live? If you have any comments, any of our South African, any listeners on the African continent, if you have any comments on the words of President Trump, if they offended you or not. But Mitch, I want you to know that the importance of speech in Jewish theology is incredible. You know, people often say, it was just words. You know, what do you think about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? What do you think about that expression?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You disagree?
Oh, you know how many, unfortunately, how many kids get bullied by words today, not even by physical?
How many kids commit suicide?
Over words.
Over words.
Yeah, no question.
Not kids. What about adults?
Yeah,
how
yeah.
about lovers? How about relationships?
No.
People that die, that kill themselves or kill each other because of how their lovers speak
well,
to them.
Well, there's also the quote that the pen is mightier than the sword.
And what about our friends over there in North Korea? You know, I mean, seriously, we're on the cusp of world war, God forbid, you know, based upon a battle of words.
Actually, but it looks like intelligence is taking over from brawn, and the North Koreans, South Koreans may work something out.
Which would be lovely. But I want you to know, Mitch, that from a spiritual perspective, the way that the Kabbalah defines man is fascinating. The Kabbalah defines everything that exists into four categories. There is the inanimate, there is the fauna and flora, but mankind is called medaber, which means speaker. What defines us as human, according to the Kabbalah, is our ability to communicate verbally with each other. It's a fascinating concept, which we will be developing in our communication course, which is being taught at the JCC at the end of this month in a 6-week seminar. You can learn about it online at georgegardens.com/RSVP. That's georgegardens.com/RSVP. But Mitch, the concept of speech defining the human being is a powerful metaphysical concept that speaks to the importance of speech. You see, we realize that when God created the world, do you remember through which medium that happened, Steve? Mitch? How did God create the world? Just think about it a moment, the story of the account of Genesis. Do you remember the process through which he created the world? So in the Sistine Chapel, you've got Michelangelo depicting God creating the world through touch.
Right.
He somehow touched Adam. I don't know where that came from. That was a poetic license. But when you read the account in Genesis, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. There were 10 utterances that happened at the beginning of creation, which verbalized everything into being. It's kind of like Siri. You know where you have a voice activated interface? You know, when you ask Siri, you know, where's the nearest restaurant or whatever? So you speak into the phone and you get a result. It's amazing. You can speak and you get a response, right? It's incredible, right? So that's how God created the world. He spoke and the world came into being. We actually say this in our prayers multiple times daily. Baruch she'amar v'haya ha'olam. Blessed is he who spoke and the world came into being. Now remember, we were created in the image of God. When we speak, we also create. And that's from a spiritual perspective, the importance of our words and how you're going to be careful not to say bad words, not to say bad things. You know, we have an expression in Jewish tradition about, you know how people say poo, poo, poo?
Mm-hmm.
When do they do that?
When somebody says something bad about somebody.
Bad? Are you sure? Steve, do you have any other?
No, it's actually something good.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's really when you say something good.
Right,
when you say, oh, look how beautiful that child is, poo, poo, poo.
Yeah, right.
When you say, look how successful this business is, poo, poo, poo. And the reason we do that is because we don't want to open, I'm going to translate from the Yiddish expression, in Peschen Pela Satan, which is a Hebrew expression, we don't open the mouth to the Satan. Because when we speak, Satan takes our words. Satan, which is a holy, divine, godly angel, will take our words and puts them into action. So when we say something good, okay, that could lead to an evil eye, which is a whole different conversation. Or when we say something bad, that comes to fruition. It actually happens. It actually happens on a spiritual sense. And I just want to illustrate it with a quick story before we move on to our next segment. And that is a story about the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus. The Baal Shem Tov once overheard a student of his saying to a friend of his, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. He said, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. So the Baal Shem Tov asked his disciples to stand in a circle, to put their arms on each other's shoulders in a circle, and to close their eyes. As the Baal Shem Tov comes in to close the circle by putting his own arms on the two disciples on each side, he closes the circle, everyone with their eyes closed, they all start to scream. Why? Because somehow, you know, this Kabbalist was able to spiritually elevate the people in the circle to a higher realm, to a higher world, where he was able to show them, they were now seeing how this one guy was flaying the other like a fish in the fulfillment of the words that he had just spoken. We think that, you know, in our experience, the words that we speak, they mean nothing. Big deal. I spoke it. It's forgotten about 2 seconds later. But the reality is the exact opposite. We are defined Kabbalistically as speakers. Like God creates the world through speech, we also create reality through speech. Be careful not to say bad things. Don't say, I'm such a so-and-so, or you're such and so-and-so. Don't say that this is going to happen. I want to tell you a true story. I said to a friend of mine the other night, I said that I had a very important meeting scheduled at a certain date. Do you know what he said to me? He said, oh, it's probably going to be canceled. I know that you might think this is a little crazy. The next day, the meeting was canceled. Okay? And I realized, you know, I thought about it, about the power of speech, that when we speak, we bring reality into existence. You know what I mean? It's something that comes to reality. So we've got to be extremely cautious about the words that we speak, not only because they could be offensive to other people, which is a travesty, but primarily because they create. Words create. They define who we are. You okay with that concept, Mitch?
Yeah, I think it's so.
Spiritual perspective. Separating the facts from the fiction. The Bubba Mises from their bottom line. The rabbi and the CEO. Our guest on the line this morning in Shmooze Radio is Sue Fishkoff, who is editor of J Weekly in San Francisco, California. She is also an author of a best-selling book called The Rebbe's Army, which is all about Chabad rabbis and rebbetzins in interesting places around the world. Welcome, Sue. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning to you both and to everybody who's listening.
So this is Mitch Zachary. I just want to tell you what an honor it is to have you on the show. When I first met the rabbi about 6.5 years ago, the first thing he did was give me your book. And I knew nothing about...
That's an honor to me.
I knew nothing about Chabad and the Rebbe. Nothing.
So he was afraid of me. So he was afraid of me. I'm serious. When I came in with my tefillin, he didn't know where to put me. He was like, yeah, Rabbi, take a donation and goodbye. Yeah. You know? And I was like, I'm not here for a donation. He couldn't understand what I was doing. Eventually, I gave him your book, and he says, when he finally read your book, it didn't take him very long, he said, Rabbi, I get it. Let's make this happen. So, Sue, I owe you...
Thank you for telling me that.
I'm very grateful to you because Mitch has become my right-hand man. He's become my CFO and my brother from another mother, and that's great. And that's thanks to you. I'm very grateful.
And you know, Sue, much like you know, some of the stories in your book, we had a building to build. And taking some of the lessons from your book, we built it. So we thank you.
Thank you for telling me that.
So, Sue, we know that it's pretty early in the morning in San Francisco. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here this morning to call into our show, into Shmooze Radio. And we're also very much excited about bringing you here to Palm Beach Gardens on January 31st in honor of Tu B'Shvat for a wine tasting and book signing event on the Rebbe's Army. The books will be available, and Sue will be speaking in person in Palm Beach Gardens about her incredible book. Sue, you are not, in your own admission, you're not what you might call an observant Jew. Is that correct?
We could call my... Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, certainly you wouldn't identify as Chabad, right?
Absolutely right. That's correct.
So,
When I was asked to write the book, I said to the publisher who asked me, but I'm not a Chabadnik, and I'm not a follower. And she said, that's why we want you to write it. We want an objective look, a journalist's look at this movement.
Right, that's amazing. So what inspired you to decide to take this journey into what could have been perceived as a very insulated community, or certainly different.
Like a cult.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what inspired you to do this?
I resisted it at every turn. It's so interesting. You know, I might call it a coincidence. You could call it something else. But the story of how I got involved in writing this book is really interesting. In the early 90s, I was the Jerusalem Post's New York bureau chief, and I covered the last 2 years of the Rebbe's life for the Jerusalem Post. 5 years later, Moment magazine asked me to write a story about what has happened to the Chabad movement 5 years after the Rebbe's passing. And I wrote that story. And a publisher called me, Alti Karper from Shocken Books, and she had read the Moment magazine story, and she said, would you like to make it into a book? I said, how can I write a book? You know, I'm not an expert, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not a scholar. And like I just said to you before, she said, we want a journalist's book. And I resisted for a couple of months. I was very nervous. I felt I couldn't win. Either I'd write a book that Chabad would like, or I'd write a book that the rest of the Jewish world would like. Like, I didn't really understand the dynamics, and I thought I would be cursed either way.
Wow.
And it came out, I was blessed, blessed both ways.
And it was a very inspirational book. I mean, just in case people just turning in, we're talking about The Rebbe's Army by Sue Fishkoff. And if, for those of our listeners that don't understand how difficult it is for people like Rabbi Vigla or Shliach, who sacrificed, we were just teasing about it before, but him and his parents and his family live in South Africa, which is pretty far away.
Yeah, we call it home.
But let's talk about this for a second. Your father was a shliach to South Africa.
Yes, still is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your wife's grandfather was an original shliach.
To Italy. Yes.
So it runs deep. Rabbi, just quickly to our listeners and to Sue Fishkoff, explain what your wife's grandfather had to go through.
Well, Sue, did you ever go to the Chabad of Italy to drop by there?
I did not.
Not. Okay, so I just want you to realize that the Hannah's grandparents, my wife's grandparents, live in Milan, Italy for over 50 years. Can you imagine going in the 50s to what the remnants of Mussolini's Italy? I mean, I can't imagine what life must have been like just a mere 10 or 12 years after the Holocaust to be able to go and rebuild the Jewish community from the ashes of the Holocaust.
And not it even was speaking rough. Italian.
Yeah, he was Russian, she was American, neither of them spoke Italian. And to go out there, and today I think they have 39 Chabad centers or something. There's a thriving Jewish community, you know, with the challenges of living in Europe, of Jewish people living in Europe today. So it's not that easy. But yeah, they've done great work out there in Italy, and it's become certainly a bastion of Jewish life in Milan, Venice. I mean, anybody who goes today to Venice has a solid Jewish experience with two or three kosher restaurants and kosher hotels, and it's incredible. You can have a real beautiful experience whether you're in Rome or in whatever, in all these various cities. You know that before we came to Palm Beach Gardens, somebody offered us to go to Livorno. Chana and I, we could have opened the Chabad in Livorno. I don't even know where it is. I mean, whatever. I sort of know. It's somewhere in Tuscany.
But in Sue's book, that's what she talks about, is all the different... Sue, could you just tell some of our listeners who are not familiar with the book some of the different places the shliachs have gone to?
Some of the different places?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I did my research 15 years ago.
Okay.
And things have not... I wouldn't say things have changed so much since then, but they've exploded so much since then.
That's amazing.
And places that I went to, like Sumy, Ukraine, and I went to Shanghai, China.
Wow.
And I went to Bangkok, Thailand, where I went to a Passover Seder for 750 Israeli backpackers that was run by Chabad. You know, and Alaska.
Alaska was pretty interesting.
I love the name of the chapter, The Frozen Chosen. So if you've just tuned in...
Yeah, they call themselves that now.
Oh, yeah? that was your expression, you came up with that one? That's great. I wasn't sure if it was theirs or yours, but it's beautiful. I love the topic. The title. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Shmooze. We're separating the facts from the fiction. The Bubba Mice is from the bottom line. It's the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for sophisticated Jews just like you. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com. Our producer is with us in the studio. It's Steve Lapa. And our guest on the show is a best-selling author of The Rebbe's Army. It's Sue Fishkoff calling in from San Francisco, California. So Sue Fishkoff actually traveled as a regular Jew. You know, she's not a Chabadnik Jew, just a regular Jew. She traveled to all these Chabad houses in the most interesting and out and far out places where she literally lived with the Chabad families, him and her. And she was able to get to know how the Chabad operates, how people operate, and documented it in her book, which is called The Rebbe's Army and she's coming to speak in the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens at the end of this month in on January 31st. Learn more about that at JewishGardens.com. So Sue, question for you: what was anything specifically startling to you to learn about the Chabad? Did you learn in your encounters and travels? Did you learn anything that was like totally unexpected about Chabad that you wouldn't have expected? Is there such a thing?
I wouldn't say totally unexpected, but I would say the strongest lessons that I learned and the strongest things that I saw were how the rabbi and the rebbetzins that I met really lived out Jewish values that I had learned about my whole life, but didn't necessarily do. Like, I was sitting, we were talking about Alaska. So I spoke to one young woman in Alaska. She was probably in her early 30s. She had moved there from New Jersey, not particularly religious, but she wanted to connect to the Jewish community. So she looked in the yellow pages. There were yellow pages in those days, 15 years ago. And she phoned the local temple, Reform Temple, and she got a secretary who said that they would send her a brochure of what the synagogue was like. And then she called the Chabad house. And the Rebbetzin, Mrs. Greenberg, answered the phone and said, come for dinner this Friday. Right? I mean, that's what Jews are supposed to do. Chabad didn't invent that, but Chabad lives it and shows the rest of us that this is our Judaism. These are our values. And you just have to step forward and take it and do it.
Wow, that's really incredible. And we're obviously very grateful for you're taking the time to write this book and give a very objective perspective. What you said, what your publisher called an outsider's perspective, even though I want to just disagree with that and say, from a rabbi, I'm allowed to say there's no such thing as an outsider. A Jew is a Jew, is always a Jew, and we're all part of one family. There's no such thing as a Jew who's an outsider. It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms. And we are very, very excited to meet you in person, Sue, as you come to the gardens to speak about your book at the Tu B'Shvat event on January 31st. And you can join us at get the information at jewishgardens.com. That's www.jewishgardens.com. Sue, closing comment before we let you go.
Thank you for having me, and I very much look forward to speaking with you and your community.
Thank you so much. We look forward to meeting with you.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate it, and really very much looking forward to seeing you in about a couple weeks' time. Shalom, and have a wonderful week. Separating the facts from the fiction, the Baba Meisis from the bottom line. Our guest in the studio, live in the studio, is the only Rebbetzin to be deployed to Iraq, Lori Lanz. We are delighted to welcome you in the studio. We'll be right back right after this brief commercial break.
Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants includes CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446 or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
Welcome back to The Rabbi and the CEO. Watch the show live on Facebook, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi Dovid Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
separating the facts from the fiction. The Bubba Mice is from the bottom line. Good morning and welcome back to Schmooze Radio. Lots of action going on in the studio today. We are welcoming this morning into the studio. Our Facebook Live listeners can watch live as we welcome in full military uniform Lori Lance, the only Rebbetzin to be deployed to Iraq. And in an amazing twist of events, she's there to light one of the things that she did amongst her military time there, I believe, is lighting the menorah in Saddam Hussein's palace, where in the midst of all of that excitement, she actually met her husband in Iraq, right? Who turned out to be a rabbi, or you became a rabbi?
Became a rabbi, yeah.
Amazing.
He went to yeshiva for many years in Queens and then became a rabbi.
I've got too many questions over here about the story. Lori, I'm just going to let you go for it. Tell us, pray tell, what on earth was a Rebbetzin doing in Iraq?
Well, I wasn't a Rebbetzin at the time.
Oh, okay, fine.
Because in Afghanistan, my husband and I went to Afghanistan for a year. And we always say that it was George Bush that sent us there.
Oh, both of you were there together?
Yeah, mm-hmm, for a year in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, we've been married for many years. So we.
Oh, you were already married?
Sure. When we went to, first, I went to Iraq.
Is this like a romantic vacation? Or?
It was not. Afghanistan was not so good. But in 2000.
The nice restaurants there?
Kosher restaurants in Afghanistan.
Well, in my hooch. But in 2003, I went to Iraq, and we had mission accomplished. And then
you won the boat with mission accomplished?
Was mission accomplished. It actually was a very big deal. We actually freed a lot of people. There was mass graves, and the Shiites, after 30 years, was asking us, what took you so long? Which really resonated to me as a Jew. There was a lot of things that I cannot share now on the radio because of the limited time. But in 2003, it was amazing to go into Iraq. And I think people forget, the Iraqi people, how much they celebrated our win. And the mission accomplished, it was a captain of a ship that wrote that, not George Bush. But it was a wonderful thing. However, there was a guy named Paul Bremer that came in, and he fired a lot of Iraqis. And that caused a lot of trouble. And that's why we have the war that we still have to this day.
Wow.
Then I went back in 05-06, and that's when I lit the menorah, big 12-foot menorah, in Saddam Hussein's palace.
Love it.
Tell me, when did Saddam Hussein die? When was that? What year
so
was that?
He died... I believe it might have been in 06 he was hung.
Oh, in 06. So you lived
in 05 he was there. He was actually there. Because of my job, I'm an intelligence officer. And because of my job, I knew where he was. And so I actually wanted to take a photo of the menorah because a lot of people forget.
Did they find him like in a sewer drain or something?
Well, they found him in a tunnel. And the thing is, in the Gulf War, he threw 39 Scud missiles into Israel.
Yes.
In 05...
People forget that now.
People forget that. And Israel had nothing to do with
it. I was going to say, it was a Jewish intelligence officer, observant Jewish intelligence officer, that located Saddam Hussein in Iraq. That is
No, I didn't do it. I didn't locate.
But you were part of the team.
No, I wasn't part of the team. No.
But you knew where he was, you said.
No. When I lit the menorah, the 12-foot menorah, I knew exactly where he was on base because he was going every single day to the trial.
Oh, he was already captured, you mean, by that time?
Oh. Oh, yeah. And so he was going every day to the trial. And then later on, they hung him. The Iraqis hung him. But I wanted to take a photo of the menorah because I knew where he was, and I wanted to show it to him and let him have a coronary.
Oh, my God.
But that did not happen.
The theme of the menorah is darkness to light, is vanquishing our enemies, the forces of evil.
I spoke about that.
To light the menorah in the palace of Saddam Hussein of the Gulf War. Wow.
I have nothing to do with it. I coordinated it. I did everything, but literally I had nothing to do with it. I look back now, it was all God. Because the person who approved for it to be lit in the Al-Fa Palace, where Saddam Hussein, literally, his throne was right there.
The golden throne that he wanted to use.
It was a red
throne.
Right, but it was a red throne, and he literally would say, this person's going to be murdered, or this bad things will happen to this woman or whatever. He was a horrible, evil person. His name should be erased. But here was God's light, God's menorah, literally in the Al-Fa Palace. And I just told people, here's a man whose entire life chose to extinguish light, but God's menorah, shines in his palace. It's just a beautiful, beautiful situation. My husband and I married, and then we went to Afghanistan in 2010 and 2011. That itself was an amazing story. He was up north in Mazar-e Sharif, just south of Uzbekistan, and I was down in Kandahar. And
don't they at least deploy you together if you're married?
They tried to. They asked me where I was going, and I said, well, my husband's going to go to Kabul. They go, well, we have an intelligence unit in Kabul. I said, great. So 2 weeks before my husband left, he found out he's not going to go to Kabul. He's going to go to Mazar-e Sharif. And then I found out 1 week before I left that I'm not going to be in Kabul, but I'm going to be down south in Kandahar. It's just one of those things. But the truth is, during our two-week break during the war, we actually went to Yerushalayim, and we got re-energized at the Kaisel.
No direct flight from Afghanistan to Tel Aviv.
No direct flight, but it was pretty easy. We actually went from Kuwait to Turkey, and then from Turkey to Israel. Uh-huh. But I saw the Bystritskys there. I saw so many great people that I love and know. And we got so much energy. And when we came back, I found out that I'm not going to be down in Kandahar, but I was going to move up to Mazar-e Sharif and be close to my husband. So that worked out well.
So Lori Lanz is, I guess, this morning in the studio with the rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. Lori Lanz is the only observant Jewish woman that I know in the American army, at least the Rebbetzin, who was deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan. Were you religious before you deployed?
Yes.
So what inspired you to deploy as is this a career army thing?
Well, it was a career. Unfortunately, I got injured a year and a half ago. So I gained weight and lots of problems. And so I actually had to leave the Navy this year. But I was under Rabbi Brisky in Agoura Hills, California. And
you weren't under, you studied under him?
No, but I mean, he's my rabbi.
Oh, okay.
He's my rabbi. And it was funny because when I got the orders to go to Iraq, his Rebbetzin, Mati Brisky, kept saying, no, you can't go, you can't go. And Brisky's like, no, she should go. And the two of them were arguing so much. We're like, I'm out of here. I went to Iraq. And that's where I found my husband, who I just love so much. He's a chaplain in the Army, and he's at Fort Polk, Louisiana right now with his troops. And God willing, he'll come home in about a month. But just a great guy. We just love, I'll tell you what we are. We're on Shluchas and with the Jewish soldiers. And this is what we do.
That's amazing. So going from Sue Fishkoff, who was talking about the Rebbe's army. Here's the Rebbe's army to the U.S. Army.
Right.
Right, the Chabad ambassadors, the Chabad house of the U.S. Army. That's really incredible.
And there's several of them actually in the army. Mendy Stern's in the army. And
these are
Harari's.
Chabad chaplains?
These are all Chabad chaplains with beards. Harari's coming in the military.
Harari from Bell Harbor.
That's right. So we've got great people coming in. And all we want to do is we serve non-Jews. We serve Jews. We just love our soldiers.
How's the kosher food in the army?
It's beautiful because I make it all.
Oh, yeah. They don't have any, like...
They do. My husband has kosher MREs at Fort Polk, Louisiana. They're very salty. We had it quite a bit in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he'll be very happy to come home to spare ribs that I make.
Beef spare ribs.
Beef spare ribs that I have
$30.
That's right.
So this is really fascinating stuff, Lori. Lori's actually our guest this morning at the Women's Champagne Brunch,
yeah,
which is the annual brunch for the Women of Palm Beach Gardens. It's happening at 11 o'clock. It's a sold-out event. Sorry if anybody would like to join. I believe there are no more seats. And that's taking place at 11 o'clock this morning at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens.
Yeah, but if somebody comes, we'll fit them in.
Yes, correct. We would be...
If Jews want to come, they can come
we'll
in. Absolutely.
Work it out. If you want to
we'll
join us at the Chabad
in.
Palm Beach Gardens, it's jewishgardens.com.
They could take my seat.
And Lori is visiting, came in especially last night in a very, very, very late
very
flight.
Early morning
really,
flight.
Really are very grateful for your coming in here. Is there any thoughts you can share with us? We're running out of time over here. But any closing thoughts on Iraq, Afghanistan, Judaism, your work
in the army?
Well, the one thing I want to say is, first of all, only 1% of the U.S. population serves in the military. That includes the reserves. If you see anybody in uniform, at the train station, at a bus station, at the airport, don't even hesitate for a second. Go over and say hi. Thank you for your service. Whether they're in 3 years, 4 years, or they're in 30 years, because you can stay until you're 65. Everybody in the U.S. military is so intelligent, so smart, so good. They're the brightest of their class. You have to know computers. You have to know so much in the military. Love your soldiers. That's what I would say. As far as Jews, 1% of the population is Jewish in America. 3% is Jewish in the U.S. military. So we actually are triple our population. Only 1.5% will say they're Jewish, but we find at least 3% on every base. My husband and I have been Fort Hood, South Korea, Fort Benning, and Fort Drum. So it's definitely, a lot of people don't put down Jewish, but they're definitely Jewish and they eat my latkes.
That is phenomenal.
Who wouldn't eat your latkes?
We are out of time, but we've got to go, so we'll wrap it up. But thank you very much, Lori. Really appreciate you joining us here this morning with our producer, Steve, and the rabbi and the CEO, myself, Rabbi Vigler, and Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. Learn about us more online at georgegardens.com, where we can you can see the upcoming very exciting guests that we are bringing to town for our gala, the communication course, our APAC policy conference in Washington, D.C. And right here on Shmooze Radio, we are about to bring Joe Lieberman in a couple weeks' time as our guest on the Shmooze. We're bringing this the head of the OU, which is the world's largest kosher certification agency, and we're also bringing a rabbi from Tzfat, mystical city of Tzfat, as a guest on the Shmooze Radio in coming weeks. So stay tuned and be entertained. We shall see you next week. Shalom, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you.